Simon, many thanks for joining us today on Mixed Mornings. So this new poem of yours, A Life in the Day Of, it's a bit of a return to your poetry roots, isn't it? Because when you wrote your debut collection, Zoom, I think that's when you were a young probation officer. So why go back to this time and this subject now?
Yeah, that's right. I was working as a probation officer during the day, and I was sort of moonlighting as a poet at weekends and bank holidays. I've written this poem now because I was invited to write it by the probation service. As poet laureate, I get commissioned to write work for lots of different reasons. And when they first got in touch, I thought, I'm not sure I would know how to do that. But I started, thinking a lot about when I used to work for the service 30-odd years ago. And they also talked to me about how this was part of a recruitment drive to bring new workers into the probation service. And that really appealed to me because my dad had been a probation officer as well. And he'd responded to an advert that he'd seen in the paper. My dad had no educational qualifications at all. And this advert was saying, we're looking for people from all different backgrounds and with, just with life experience. And I think that's what the service are doing at the moment. So writing this was as a kind of version of that advert that attracted my dad to the job, but just with a few rhymes sprinkled in.
I guess it's quite difficult writing a poem that obviously you want to humanize the people who work for the probation service and the people who are using the service. But at the same time, obviously, you've got to kind of anonymize them. And obviously, you're using letters as a way of identifying the clients of the service. And there's this line, I need to keep seeing P as a human being. But it's quite hard, isn't it, to sort of make it human, but at the same time, not refer specifically to individuals.
It is. The idea is always the challenge, and the poem is the solution. I mean, because it's so long since I worked in probation, I can't really remember anybody's name anyway. And I like the idea that the poem implies that I am anonymizing real names. But actually, I use the alphabet through the poem because it provides a sort of formal framework so that, there is order and there is discipline involved in probation. Equally, there is disorder and there is chaos. And that's what happens in the substance of the poem. So essentially, I spoke to a lot of probation officers who are working in the job now. And I began by saying, well, one of the questions I asked them was, what is a typical day in your life? And they nearly all laughed when I said that, the implication being that there wasn't a typical day, because you can go in there with a plan and objectives and almost straight away it goes out of the window because, you're working with people who've got very chaotic lives and human beings are very unpredictable. Offenders more so because they live in, tumultuous circumstances. And I wanted to try and get the atmosphere of that in this poem. So there is form and there is shape, there's the alphabet and there are the rhymes across the couplets. But what's going on is a kind of roller coaster of wins and losses and lows and highs.
Yes, and I suppose amongst that, you've said in the past, that your poems have like a surface meaning and another meaning. So what about this one? What's the other meaning for A Life in the Day Of?
Yeah, that's a good question in relation to this poem. I mean, I think as poet laureate, one thing I recognise is that I'm often writing poems for a slightly different audience. These aren't necessarily poems which would end up in a book of poetry read by specialist poetry readers. These are poems which are directed towards a general reader who might just drop across them and might not necessarily be interested in English literature and literary criticism, but just we'll have one read of the poem. So I'm not trying to be, deep and obscure in the poem, but if anything is lurking there beneath the surface, it's to do with the fact that, what you really need for this job is a kind of empathy. you know, the ability to keep thinking that the person in front of you is not the offence that they've committed, as serious as that might be, but that there is a human being there who needs help or treatment, or you know, needs to be respected in some way, and you need to find a way of making them respect society as well. So I think that's the sort of the undertone of the poem. I say at one point you need a big heart and a thick skin. I mean, there are things that are easy to say, but my guess is that, you know, when you use those words, people recognize them as character traits that they might have deep down.
And I suppose it's sort of broadening that a little bit. I guess our listeners might be interested in your view of what you see as the role of poetry today. You know, what sort of impact do you think it can have? And you know, does it have a role to create change? How do you see poetry today?
Well, poetry is a very wide church. I mean, the definition of poetry, even since I've been writing, has changed enormously to encompass everything from elements of the music industry right through to, you know, quite esoteric, you know, page-bound poetry. I suppose one thing that I think poetry can do that other forms of writing can't do is to take people by surprise. So if you were to see this poem in a newspaper, for example, it would tell you, even just by looking at it from 10 yards away, that it's not prose. It's something slightly different. The language is slightly different. It's more intense. It invites you to spend a bit more time with it and think about it. And I think that's where poetry works best, when you're not expecting it, when it's unanticipated, just sort of pops up into your life. It makes you think, and it makes the, you know, if it's done properly, it makes the subject more memorable.
I suppose one of the things we talk about when we talk to authors a lot is we talk about process and how you go about it. You described interviewing people within the probation service, but I mean, you've been poet laureate now since, I think it was 2019, so you've had a few years to sort of see the lie of the land. Do you think that, sort of, heaven forfend, the poet laureate role could one day be perhaps played by a form of artificial intelligence?
What makes you think you're speaking to Simon Armitage? He couldn't make it today. You're speaking to his AI version. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a strange world we live in, isn't it? I mean, I have had journalists put AI poems in front of me and say, "What do you think of that?" And up to this point, they've always been reassuringly awful. But you know, it's a very adaptive kit, and I think it's going to be very challenging for everybody who makes work. I think the one thing that it can't replicate or replace at the moment is the live performance, you know, the reading of poems, and you know, the conversation that we're having now, which is spontaneous, and so maybe that's where the future lies. But I don't know. I'm very bad at predictions. I don't think I've ever put money on a horse that's won. So don't ask me to say what AI is going to do to poetry. Whatever I say, it'll be wrong.
But it's also because you mentioned, obviously, the poet laureate is commissioned to write poetry, and you could argue AI is a little bit like that. But let's put AI to one side. So what sort of areas would you like to be commissioned as poet laureate? Are there areas you'd really like to tackle?
Well, one of the things that I really like about the commissioning process is that it appears contrary to most people's notion of what poetry is. I think people would imagine that as a poet, you are inspired and you just write about what you want to write about when you want to write. And that's probably true up to a certain extent. But when somebody comes along and says, "Can you write a poem about this particular subject?" Well, certainly my first impulse is, no, I don't know how I would do that. And then you start talking to them and you start hearing stories and you get interested. And then you know, that subject comes with its own vocabulary, a different language, and you get drawn into it, and it drags your imagination into a territory that you wouldn't have thought of. So the answer to your question is, I don't really know until it happens. And when it does happen, I usually think I really don't see how I could do that. And a few minutes later, I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting.
Okay, well, Simon, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning on Mixed Mornings. And I wish you luck with your very next commission.
Thank you very much.